Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. By LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code HamNation to receive $10 off at checkout. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 145 for April 30th, 2014. K7AGE's Magic Drawing Board.
Good evening, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID. And I'm speaking to you from the Ozarks tonight, not on the road, not back at the plant. I'm in good old Ozarks having fun. The weather's been pretty good, a little bit cold today, but boy, it was great. We're going to be 80, I think, Saturday. So time to get out and put up some antennas. Yay, yay. And the bands have been pretty good here. So I hope all of you have enjoyed some of the good bands, and I know everybody says, "Oh, they're bad today." Good, hey, it's ham radio. It's great. No matter what, you'll find somebody to talk to. We have a wonderful show tonight. Valerie's going to have a great report on some DX contest information. George got his soldering iron going. Dale's going to be on a little bit later with videos. Amanda's watching the chat room, and I'll be in with her in a little bit. But I want to say one thing before we go to Gordon West. I'm looking for a volunteer. We need people to help us set up the audio at Dayton. And what we're talking about is on Friday. We're at around, what is it, 12:30, I think it is, or 2 o'clock. What is it, Gordon? 2 o'clock is the forum on Friday? No, it's...
I think it is. It's after 12:30. So anytime after 12:30, we need you, meaning someone that's great with a whole bunch of microphone cables and mics and mixers and stuff.
Yeah. I will provide the same, but we don't have time. Gordon's teaching a class right up to it. I'll be busy right up to it. But if we could have somebody help us, that would be great. We also will need a little bit of setup maybe on... Saturday, but I think George and I might be able to get that together. So if we have any volunteers, it's bob@heilsound.com or my call at ARRL. You know where I'm at. Right down there on the bottom of the page, it tells you where it's right over here. Anyway, I'd like to have somebody that could help us get that going. So, Gordon, down in Costa Mesa, you're okay from the fires. You're nowhere close to that, but I bet you've been working a lot of it today on the air, right?
We have, and actually we were very close to the fires, and part of our fire watch team members were right there, and what a day. And take a listen to this. This was fire traffic, and see if you can figure out what the problem of the audio was.
I see the Battalion 7. Your main objective or issue may be up in Portola. Your structure looks good. I'm beginning
to structure. Wow, that was an important comp. Well, we missed it until we gave him a suggestion, and here it is. Put a sock over that two-way radio microphone. And while a sock is not very glamorous to an emergency responder, sometimes you have to do that. So emergency responders, be thinking, when you're working a fire scene and the wind is howling like it was today in California at 40 to 60 miles per hour, have something to shield the microphone. All right, we've got HamFest coming up. This coming Saturday, the Ozaki Radio Club Swap Fest. They have a new dig. They're at St. Mary's Arena on the fairgrounds in Cedarburg. So if you've been to it before, be sure and go to the St. Mary Arena at the fairgrounds this time. And week after next, May 10th, Reno Swap Fest in Sparks, Nevada. And they hold that at a Denny's. So if you get hungry, you just go inside and load up on great Denny's food. Well, load up on excitement, because Dayton that Bob was talking about is coming up 16, 17, and 18, 3 weeks away. Carol Perry, WB2MGP, says come to the Youth Forum on Saturday morning and hear some of the great kids that are going to be talking about ham radio. And by the way, Dale of our team says come to our booth, because we sure could use a lot of folks dressed in purple, please, to represent Ham Nation in the Ham Nation booth in the audio alley. And we also have some neat gifts we're going to give away at our ham radio seminar. Randy, KB3IFH, the QSL guy, has a free $100 certificate. I think it's $100 for QSL cards. Thanks, Randy. And don't forget, Saturday, from Coast to Coast Radio, 160 radio stations, Leo Laporte, the tech guy, is going to let four of us hosts on Ham Nation talk over AM and FM radio stations all over the country, literally lighting up millions of folks about all that ham radio is. So lots of things happening. So Bob, back to you, and we'll see everybody in a few weeks live and direct at Dayton.
You got it. We're really excited. Dayton's always a lot of fun, and especially when we can get on and get things going with Leo, that'd be great. And who knows where it goes from there. We'll see so many of you, so be sure and stop by and say hello, and we do need volunteers for all of this. Let's see, just to let everybody know, Valerie is here. Valerie, how are you tonight? You got things all in order up in the North Country?
Yep. It still feels like winter up here, but yeah, I'm getting ready for Dayton. Can't wait in 2 weeks, but we're going to have some cool stuff for everybody tonight.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute. And George, Mississippi's okay. You're not on fire and any of that, but you got your smoking solder on fire, right? Ready to go?
Well, yeah, actually, we survived the tornadoes here. You know, there were tornadoes that came through a couple of nights ago. They came just north and south of me and Tommy, and Don was okay, too. They didn't quite make it down to the coast, but, yeah, doing pretty good here. It's just been a little windy and a little wet. Wish we could give Gordo some of this rain. You know, I just put out another video this week. Tommy and I did one with Ray for ICOM. It's on that new ID 5100A, and that's out on at ICOMAmerica.com and also on YouTube, where we kind of went in depth in it and just looked at you know, all the features this new radio has. Boy, it really changes up things, Bob.
Yeah, it's scary, let me tell you. Missed us here in the Springfield area. We're very, very blessed, but not so well in Arkansas, and I think over in Kansas. So, but gosh, ham radio is at the center of all of that. So, God bless all those guys and gals that are out there saving lives, really, with their ham radio. So, that's good. Well, we're going to go back to Costa Mesa and got some short shots from Gordo. So, take her away, Gordon. It's all yours.
All right. Well, with all the stormy weather on the Midwest and the East Coast, as well as the stormy weather we had today, probably some towers took their toll. So today, I want to introduce you to a set of towers that I love. So if we can go ahead and roll the tower videos. These are Aluma towers. And I know you think of aluminum as, oh, my gosh, they're gonna break in an instant with any kind of wind. Well, first of all, you got to break them out of the containers. They come out of Florida, where Aluma Tower manufactures them. And they manufacture them for so many different agencies. Many of them put them on flatbed trucks and use these lightweight towers. We've already got one taken apart. But here he is. And that's Don Arnold, W6GPS, and Jim Ford, N6JF. Along with yours truly, trying to get this aluminum tower out of the wrappings. It comes overland freight. It's going to probably cost several hundred dollars to get it to you. But just think of all the great firewood you're going to have during the non-fire season. So keep that all the pieces of wood handy. Here's Don doing his very best of taking the tower out, and he's working pretty hard. Yep. got the cones out there. He's got the safety glasses. And, of course, to get the towers, the aluminum towers or any tower out of a crate, you're going to definitely need a giant crowbar. Now, look at this. Two boats lifting a, this cranks up to 60 feet, an aluminum tower. Weighs about 80 pounds. It's quite manageable. And there you are, two folks. So if you're thinking as an alternative to a steel tower, the aluminum tower simply walks right into your backyard. You want to do it when your neighbors aren't at home or at work. That's okay. Just step on the neighbor's grass. No problem at all. And here we are getting it into the backyard, and we're trying to take two hams and one aluminum tower through a very small gate. And as you can see, didn't quite make it. Don is smart. He's on the other end of it. And here we've got the aluminum tower stacked up. If you look over to the left, you'll see the antennas that are part of our weak signal array that we've got down on the deck waiting for the towers to go in place. And you can actually lift each one of these 40 and 60-foot aluminum towers yourself if you have the right balance. And again, notice everybody wearing protective safety glasses when we're working with them. It takes not much to get them up in the air. And here's the aluminum tower extended. And even in today's weather, the aluminum tower extended did not fracture. It does not require guy lines. I recommend in real windy weather to crank it somewhat down. And there we are. That's what we have today. It's about halfway down. The rotor goes on the inside, and the aluminum tower for the weak signal antennas, 2 meters and 440 over on the right side. But the stack of 2 meter antennas fit nicely on the aluminum tower. There it's nested, but it'll go all the way up to 60 feet plus when you add the pole. So when we're ready to work HF or VHF or UHF, we really enjoy Aluma Tower. So when you go to Dayton or any of the ham fests, or just look them up on the webpage, Aluma Tower. I don't work for them, but I sure like them because even out here on the West Coast with a lot of salt air, they are still standing tall and looking just great. So there it is, the tower story. So if you withstood all the winds but lost an antenna or two, consider a Luma Tower. Okay, Bob, back to you.
How long has that been up, Gordo? You've had it up some time, right?
Oh, yeah. Those have been up about 5 years. And the ones prior to that were more than 5 years. And one failed. But it wasn't the tower that failed. It was rather the fascia that it was braced on tore right off when we here in Southern California had a mini tornado waterspout that came in from the Pacific. The tower survived, but it ripped up on the way down half the house.
Oh, man. Well, I know the antennas work really well because you've done some great things on VHF. And when I get out there and let me hear Hawaii on some of the ducting, my goodness, those antennas were great. Well, we're going to go down to Mississippi, and George is going to see what's happening. First of all, he's going to tell us all about ICOM.
It's that time of year again. We're counting down the days to Dayton. Can't make it to this year's Hamvention? You can still join in on all the fun as ICOM will once again be streaming live at Dayton. Lots of great and informative activities are scheduled for Dayton Hamvention 2014. On Thursday, May 15th, one day before Dayton officially opens, attend Contest University 2014 at the Crown Plaza Hotel. Learn from 11 veteran contesters. Register online and check out a course outline at contestuniversity.com. For hams who can't make it, visit icomamerica.com/Dayton2014 for a live webcast. On the morning of Friday, May 16th, attend D-Star InfoCon 2014 at the Drury Inn. Learn about D-Star and also receive a demo of ICOM's new ID5100A mobile. Check out workshop details and register at dstarinfo.com. Class will be streamed live on ICOM's site for people who can't attend in person. ICOM will also be streaming live at Harrah Arena. Planned webcasts include the Dayton Youth Forum, moderated by Carol Perry, and other events from ICOM's booths, HA0008 through HA0010, and HAOO33 through HAOO37. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/Dayton2014 regularly for updates on webcast schedules, speaker list, and more. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation for more information on ICOM Live at Dayton.
And you can enter and win in ICOM's weekly drawings for prizes like ICOM swag, T-shirts, hats, and more. And don't forget to check out the details of ICOM's monthly radio giveaway, the grand prize. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this episode and every episode of Ham Nation and throw your name in the hat. You can also find out the previous winners from weeks past. And this month, this is the last day you can enter, so you certainly want to go in there now and register. You could win an all-new ID 5100A. It's a dual-watch mobile with 50 watts of power for both VHF and UHF, plus touchscreen, D-Star, built-in GPS, SD card storage, Android remote control, available Bluetooth connectivity, and more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation today after the show and enter to win. And right now, let's go see Valerie and get a DX report. Val?
Well, thanks, George. Hey, everybody. What I was going to talk about today is you've seen them spotted, some of these DX, rare DX entities out there, or even the Whiskey One Alpha whiskey stations when they have a huge pileup and they run split, or it says that they're listening up. So right now I made a video, a kind of a how-to run split. So Brian, if you can go ahead and start that video, this is going to give you a little idea what to do here. All right, guys, we're going to learn how to work split today. Right now there's a Whiskey One Alpha Whiskey portable station working split. So first thing we're going to do is hit the split button. Now it's in a different spot on every radio on my IC7700. It's here. If I just hit the split button right away, it's just going to create a VFOA. And a VFOB. If I hold the split button down, it's going to make sure the VFOA equals the VFOB, which is always a good place to start because then you only have to move your dial a little bit for the split operation. So I'm going to hit the split and hold it down. Now they're both set at 14.287. Some of the split buttons out there might not do that. If that's the case, we need to find the A equals B button because this may be set at 14.287, and this one might be even on another band altogether. So if you just hit the A equals B, and it will always make sure VFOA is equal to VFOB. And my split button is lit, so I know I'm running split right now. So if I were to put my foot on the foot pedal, like I'm going to do in about 1 second, this is going to light up. That means that's the frequency I'm transmitting at, which right now is the same one as this. So he's listening up 5 to 10. I'm going to move this dial up 5 to 10 and try and find where he's listening. Now, if you're running a lot of power, if he's listening 5 to 10 up, you can go hang on the 5 up or go hang on the 10 up because those are the most popular frequencies. He's probably going to hang there a lot more often than the other frequencies. But if you're not running a lot of power, like I usually do, usually I'm only running 100 watts when I work my DX, I'll go somewhere in the middle all by myself. I try and find an open frequency so he can hear me. So now he's listening for something on 295.5. For DX only, I think. QRP only on 295.5. So we're going to go somewhere in the middle. That sounds pretty open. Nobody's there. So as soon as he's done with QRP, I'm going to transmit in here. November, Victor 9, Lima.
Hello, Valerie, NV9L, 5-9, New Hampshire.
Thanks, Siri, 5-9 as well, Wisconsin. And there you go. It's as simple as that. Now you guys can go out and work some split when you see the DX out there. And don't be afraid to jump in. Don't forget to turn off the split button when you're done working the station.
While we're on the subject of Whiskey One Alpha Whiskey, those of you who've been working those stations, if you have an account with the outgoing QSL Bureau, you don't have to send them a QSL card in order to get one in return. As a matter of fact, they have nowhere to put those cards. So they're asking anybody to go to this website, put in your call sign, and you're automatically set up to get those cards directly from the ARRL. Might as well save the paper and save the stamp. Now, if you don't have an account with the outgoing QSL card, QSL Bureau, don't worry. I'm going to be going over that somewhere down the road.
All right. Also coming up this week in DX, Brian, can you show that picture for me? Can anybody guess where this is? Wow. That is actually a DXCC entity. It's kind of between Venezuela and Puerto Rico, if anybody can figure it out. This weekend, hopefully, you're going to see a lot of hams operating from there for about 5 to 7 days. And if you haven't figured it out yet, it's Aves Island, which is Yankee Whiskey Zero Alpha. It's a big de-expedition that's going to be going on there. They were supposed to leave yesterday. There was a little problem with the Navy issue transport, but hopefully they're underway. It's about a 40-hour trip, and they will be on the air. So look for those guys. And also coming up, Fernando de Noronha is going to be active. Andre Papa Yankee Zero Foxtrot. Foxtrot is going to be there from May 2nd through the 8th. He's only going to be on the higher bands, which is 30 through 10 sideband, CW, and a whole lot of digital. As a matter of fact, I think he's going to be the first one to ever operate JT65 from Fernando de Noronha. So all you digital guys out there should have a lot of fun with Andre. Who needs Ethiopia and Uganda? I know I do. Ethiopia, Uli's going to be out there, or actually he's there right now until May 7th. That's Echo Tango 3 Alpha Alpha, so look for that on the cluster. Also, Uganda, Hans 5 X-Ray 1 Sierra, he's actually only going to be there till tomorrow, so if you need him, you better get out there and work him right away. Of course, after Ham Nation's over. And by the way, just so you know, when I'm giving you these DX reports, I'm just really scratching the surface. There's a whole lot of DX out there. Some of the places I like to go, DX World, they have a website. They also are on Facebook, and they support a lot of the DX that's out there. So I always like to support those who support the DX. I also subscribe to Bernie's Daily DX Report, Whiskey 3 Uniform Radio. I don't work for him either. But every morning I get a very comprehensive report of all the DX and IOTA for all you Islands on the Air guys out there. This is a really comprehensive report I get every morning in my inbox, actually. That's what I wake up to every morning, and I read it before I even get out of bed. There's probably at least 50 different entries in there of what's going on, so it's very comprehensive. And I think he does a weekly one, too, for you Sunday paper kind of guys. Contesting this, I don't know if you heard, Florida CUSO party was going on last weekend, which is a very popular CUSO party. A lot of people were on the air then. I think that's probably the second most popular one next to California CUSO party. But coming up this weekend, we have the 7th Call Area CUSO party, which is very cool and a lot of fun because it's more of the more rural states in this contest. The 7th area is Arizona, Utah, Idaho, Nevada, Oregon, Washington and Wyoming. So if you're working on your WAS, worked all states, or you county hunters, I'm sure there's a whole lot of counties and states you need go on the air this weekend for the 7th call area. There's the 1010 CW Sprint Contest this Saturday and Sunday, and there's also the ARI International DX Contest going on, which is the Italian DX Contest, so there's going to be a whole lot of Italians on the air. But you don't have to be an Italian to be to play in that contest. Anybody can play, and they're going to be on 160 through 10 CW sideband and RIDI. And that's all I've got going this weekend for contesting and DXing. And the next time I see you guys, it'll be live from Dayton, which I can't wait. I look forward to this about 11 and a half months out. So over to you, Dale. What kind of videos you got over there?
I got a couple of good ones tonight. At least I hope there are a couple of good ones. Really enjoyed your report, Valerie. Hope to see you there at Dayton. We are looking for volunteers for the Ham Nation booth. just send an email if you'd like to volunteer at the booth to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. Well, we do have two videos, and we've got a brand new club website of the week also. Going to jump right in to the coverage of the Baker to Vegas run. The videographer is Tom Oplananik, WA2IVD. Let's roll it.
A program that started out actually earlier than that with the space shuttle many years ago, and it's been with the space station ever since the space station started in about year 2000. We have done about 900 school contacts with school kids all over the world.
We submitted a proposal to NASA based on our unique position as a science center to be able to provide space education along with the radio technology piece.
Hi, my name is Brianna. How do you take showers or baths in space? Over.
Hi, my name is TJ. If you get sick, what kind of medicine do you take?
Hi, my name is Michael. How do you use the bathroom? Over.
Hi, my name is Ian. How do you work out in space? Over.
Hi, my name is Keaton. Was there ever a scary moment up there in space?
Hi, my name is Brianna. How do you brush your teeth in space?
My name is Ardell. Is it comfortable wearing an astronaut suit?
They're an aerospace magnet school, so they actually have quite a bit of knowledge when it comes to the International Space Station. We're very excited to actually get a chance to speak with astronauts. Thank you!
As a technical mentor, my primary job is to work with the schools and the educators and the ham radio operators involved at each location to explain what we need to do, what kind of equipment they need, how we can best set it up. And frankly, this one is a little bit of a challenge because of the huge building involved and some rather unique challenges we had due to the size of the building. Would have been a lot easier to go out in the prairie somewhere and set up a little radio station and all by ourselves and do it rather than have to fight this big building.
We were lucky we had a bucket truck here to put our antennas up on, which helps. We've got this big building, and we've got to get our antennas over it, but using the bucket truck made that a whole lot easier. Also, when things went wrong, like we had a bad cable on the antenna, it made it a lot easier to bring the antenna down, troubleshoot the cable, replace it, and put it back up. What went wrong? We didn't go through as much of an exercise getting everything set up due to bad weather, due to scheduling, due to access to the exploration place. We weren't able to set the antennas up the day before. We had to set them up the morning of because we have to leave them outside. That made things difficult. Best advice I can give also, if you've got a lot of people showing up, spend 15, 20 minutes, go through, identify who's doing what, and get everyone assigned tasks. We didn't do that, and as such, we had people not able to help us get the secondary station up while the primary station was getting set up. That bit us. We had one pass where we could be heard by the station. We couldn't hear the station. It was a settings problem. If we had the secondary radio set up, we probably would have detected it much sooner. But NASA got us a second pass. Thank you, NASA. Thank you, astronauts, for staying up late and working with us on that. We appreciate that. Rehearse, 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 just like we do with field day. The reason for field day is to practice setting up in an emergency. When you do something like this, try to set up and go through a full-on dress rehearsal, including contacting satellite, several times before you have to go live.
Well, thank you, Keith, and thank you, David. David, there was some good advice for clubs that want to participate in the AROS program. On that particular day, it was February 28th, there was freezing rain out there when that antenna was being assembled, and Murphy's Law was in full effect. So let's pick up now the club website of the week. Our website of the week is www.emerald-ars.us. It comes to us from the Emerald Amateur Radio Society. They're in Lane County, Oregon. The site was nominated by Albert, KE7PWV, a And the site features a calendar, photos, and a link to various amateur radio stories. So give it a test drive, www.emerald-ars.us. Also, we do need nominations for future Website of the Week features here at Ham Nation Videos. Let's go back and pick up that first video and look at that race in the desert between Baker and Las Vegas. Again, the videographer is Tom. He's W-A-2-I-V-D. Let's take a look.
On Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, the 30th annual Baker to Vegas Challenge Cup Relay was held. Baker to Vegas is a 120-mile running relay race from Baker, California to Las Vegas, Nevada. It is open to all law enforcement personnel and draws over 260 teams, some from as far away as Germany and Australia. The start line is located about 24 miles outside of Baker. The race takes place in the Mojave Desert through Pahrump, Nevada, and into Las Vegas. There are 20 stages along the course where runners hand off their baton to the next runner. Although the event is not widely known to the general public, it is a huge event and an amazing example of logistics and coordination. Each year, there are thousands of runners along with thousands of volunteers and support staff. A large portion of the race goes through the Mojave Desert, where there is little or no cell phone coverage. This is where ham radio comes in. This just might be the largest deployment of volunteer ham communicators outside of a major disaster area. Literally hundreds of ham operators provide communications for all aspects of the race. In this segment, we'll take a look at the Safety Patrol. This is a relatively new group that was added to the event several years ago. The Safety Patrol team monitors runners and their follow vehicles along the most hazardous portion of the course. In some years, midday temperatures along the first half of the race can reach well over 100 degrees. The high temperatures coupled with a 1,500-foot rise in elevation over an 8-mile section of the course has led to some runners getting into serious medical difficulties. The Safety Patrol was added to improve runner safety and provide rapid call-up and deployment of medical personnel. In addition to medical issues, there are traffic hazards. The entire race course is open to regular traffic during the race. Each runner is required to have a follow vehicle. The Safety Patrol also steps in to take over for follow vehicles if they're having mechanical difficulties or if they need to make other necessary stops. The Safety Patrol team for 2014 included 11 patrol vehicles, a command post known as Safety Com, as well as two coordinators, Safety 1 and Safety 2. The group also has a patrol campsite roughly in the center of our patrol area. Blair Stevens, KD6IFG, is Safety 1, and Darren Gilmore, K6MIB, is Safety 2. Darren and Blair have been coordinating the Safety Patrol since its inception. There are too many other members of the team to read off everyone in the time we have left, but if you're watching the video, you can see them all listed here. In part two, we'll take a brief look at where hundreds of other ham operators step in to help with this amazing event. I'm Tom, WA2IVD. Thanks for watching.
Well, thank you, Tom. Good job. Great job for all the amateur operators out there on that race. And Tom has produced a part two of the video. We'll post a link on hamnationvideos.info to that video for your use. Well, that's about it for tonight. The segment here is all about your videos, so please send them along with your Ham Shack photos to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. We'll get them on the air for you. We haven't received enough shack photos yet for another episode of Show Me Your Shack, so send yours in and you'll probably get in on the next episode. And we'd also like to know what you'd like to see on the video segment. In the past, we've tried to present at least one event video and one educational video, like Dan's mobile HF series each week, and provide some variety that way. So just send your ideas to hamnationvideos@twit.tv, and we'll see what we can get on the air for you. Well, that's it for tonight. Hope you have a great week out there. And George is up next. He's got smoke and solder, but first, I think he's got a big announcement. George, take it away.
Well, I do, Dale, but first let me say kudos on the hat there. I don't think I've ever seen a hat like that before.
I love it.
Esther picked that. We were up at the University of Kansas last Wednesday, and she picked that. She just had to have me wear that hat. It works because the lights don't, the bill doesn't shadow my face, so it's pretty good. Better than looking at my bald head, George. Go ahead.
Well, that's really neat. I think I had a pair of pants that looked like that back in the 70s. Really brings back some memories. Well, yeah, we have an announcement this week. You know, I was having trouble here. I couldn't get the soldering iron lit, but fortunately, Randy, K7AGE, is joining us here to do some videos every other week or so. And we've got his first one out tonight. He's working on a series here that looks like it's going to be pretty interesting. So let's take a look at that.
Hi, Randy, K7AGE, with my first Ham Nation video. I'm so glad that Gordo and Bob and George have invited me to join the Ham Nation crew. With PSK31 being such a popular digital mode, this is what many people try for the first time. So this video is about the various sound card interfaces that you need to think about. Once you have the interface working for PSK31, there's many other modes that are open to you to use. One of my most popular YouTube videos is where I show people how to receive PSK very quickly by placing the computer's microphone by the radio speaker to pick up the audio. You can be receiving PSK31. Four things to think about. Number one is the audio from the radio to the computer. Number two is audio from the computer to the radio. Number three is push-to-talk, how you will place the transmitter and transmit. Number four is read control. It's nice, and it's optional. So this is what you typically have, is a computer with a sound card built inside, which has an audio input and an audio output connector, and your radio, which has a microphone input and a headphone output connectors on the front. Now, if I connect the output of the headphone to the audio input on the computer, this will work if your input on the computer is a line-level input. Many computers nowadays only have mic-level inputs available, which is a much lower signal than what is the high-level signal coming out of your radio. So this gives you a level mismatch, which may overload the audio front end in the computer. So a line level on a computer is typically 100 to 1,000 times greater than a mic level. Line level is around a 1-volt peak-to-peak signal, whereas a mic level can be around 10 millivolts to 1 millivolt. A way to correct this problem is to using a resistor voltage divider with a 100 to 1 ratio. So I come out of the radio through a 10K resistor in series to a 100 ohm resistor to ground. If I tap off for the microphone input at the junction of the two, that signal there will be 100 times lower than what goes in or what comes out of the radio. And I can also use transformers with this to provide ground isolation between the computer and the radio. Many radios have connectors on the rear of the radio as well. A audio out, an audio in, and a push to talk. If you don't have separate connectors, these signals may be available on a multi-pin connector. Now the audio output is typically line level and it's fixed. So as you vary the AF volume on the radio, the level stays fixed and does not change. Audio input on the rear of the radio may be mic level, which is low, or line level, which is high. You'll have to check your manual to see what you have. And there's also a connector for a push-to-talk signal. So you can use the interfaces that I've shown connecting to the headphone and microphone jack to the jacks on the rear of the radio. But something to watch out for is that not all radios will allow Vox to be used with audio input on the rear of the radio. So a method to generate push-to-talk for the radio is by using a serial port on the computer with either the RTS or the DTR command pins through a opto-isolator switch connected to the push-to-talk input on the rear of the radio. The opto-isolator also provides ground isolation. Most computers don't have a serial port anymore, so you can use an external USB to serial port dongle. When using the serial port to generate your push-to-talk, you typically have to go into the configuration setup in your software for your digital program and tell it to use the serial port for push-to-talk, choose the COM port that you're using, and then select either RTS or DTR. Okay, once we have our cables connected, now we need to think about setting the audio level. We do not want to overdrive the transmitter. We do not want to cause distortion. We do not want to cause splatter on the band. So you want to watch your ALC, your automatic level control indication on your meter. You'll have to look at your manual to see how to set this properly. We want to turn off any audio processing. So that means any audio compression, turn it off. Any EQ that you may have, turn it off. Our goal here is to operate our audio level in the linear portion of our power output curve. As you can see, as we increase audio level further, power output does not continue going up. At that point, we've saturated the system. We're causing distortion. We're probably splattering on the band. So you want to back off the audio level so that you're ensured that you're operating in the linear portion. This is what the band looks like when you see multiple PSK signals. Ideally, you should just see two vertical lines close together. Those are properly adjusted. The fellow on the end there, he is overdriving his transmitter, and he's causing multiple vertical lines, so you can see his signal is quite a bit wider. When you're operating PSK, ask the other station what your signal looks like, and he will tell you if you're too wide. If you are, adjust your audio properly. And when all else fails, read the manual. The rig control connection from the computer to the radio allows your software and the radio to read things like the frequency display in order to log properly. It may also provide a button that you can press to change the frequency or change bands. This requires a second serial port in addition to the one for the push-to-talk. So everything I've talked about, you can buy in what I'm going to call the traditional sound card interface. This is a box that goes between the audio ins and outs of the radio and the computer to a serial port on the computer to generate a push-to-talk for the radio. Many times, this interface box will connect to the rear connector on the radio, which means you have to order the correct cable with the box. So examples of these are from Tigertronics, their SL1 Plus. West Mountain Radio has the Rig Blaster series. Easy Digi has assembled end kits available on eBay. Buxcom with their Rasco interfaces. And there's many others out there. So many of the interfaces now have moved the sound card circuitry out of the computer into a standalone box that connects to a USB cable to the computer and a radio-specific cable to the rear connector on the radio. So it's one cable from the computer to the box and one cable from the box to the radio. The box typically has a Vox circuit inside, so when it hears audio from the computer, it'll key the push-to-talk. You need to be careful about the applications that are running on your computer, because if you have your mail program up and you get a mail message in, you do not want to have, you've got mail going out on 20 meters. These boxes typically have audio level controls and LED status indicators on the front. Example of these are, again, from Tigertronics, their Signal Link USB, West Mountain Radio with their Rig Blaster Advantage, Time Wave with their Navigator, and there's others available. So now the next progression is to move the sound card interface into the radio. So now no box is required from the computer to the radio. A single USB connection handles both the audio and rig control. This is built into the radio. This is now available on many of the new ICOM, Kenwood, and Yaesu radios. A couple things to watch for as I wrap up the video. One, be very careful how you adjust your audio input level to the transmitter. You do not want to be overdriving or causing distortion or be seen as wide. Push to talk is something you need to think about. If you're going into the front, the Vox will work. If you're going in the back, it may or may not work. If it doesn't work, you can use a serial port, either from the computer or from a USB to serial port dongle, to generate a logic level through a switch circuit to interface to the push-to-talk circuitry. And the newer radios will deal with push-to-talk through commands through the serial line, not logic level, but commands. My next video, I'll actually build a sound card kit interface. In my following videos, I'll play around with different sound card and digital modes. So for now, 73 from K7AGE.
Great.
Boy, my arm would be tired too. I think I saw smoke coming off that whiteboard, Gordo.
Yeah, it was. But how great to have this artist with us. Artist in so many ways, Randy, a true friend of all ham radio ops.
Yeah, it's great to see Randy come on board here and do some things for us. He's going to be joining us here in a few weeks. We hope to get him on the show live and do a little chat. But Randy and I have been knowing each other for several years now, and he's always great to work with and really puts out some good videos, a lot of good information in those. So stay tuned. He's got more in this series coming up, and I'm not sure what he's going to do after that, but I can guarantee you it's going to be great. Well, last week I asked a question, what frequency band does Bluetooth operate in? And the reason I ask is because we're giving away a set of these Heil HBA Bluetooth adapters here. It's got a XLR connector to plug right into your microphone. And then you've got a receiver here that you can plug into your mixer or amplifier, guitar amp, or something like that, not your linear. But you click the buttons, pair these things together. Then you can connect your mic wirelessly to your rig or your mixer. No ground loop there because it's all going through the air. And we had a winner on that contest. It's Dr. Joe Mesh, and he said Bluetooth works on the 2.4 gigahertz band using spread spectrum frequency hopping. Boy, that's tough to say, but he's right. So congratulations, Dr. Joe. We're going to send these out to you. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun with it. For next week, we've got a prize here from the guys over at DX Engineering. It's an external speaker here to plug into any ham rig. I have not plugged it in yet. These just arrived right before the show, but I'm going to try one out. It looks like a nice little speaker. If you'd like to win that, then answer this. Which of the following devices can be used for impedance matching at radio frequencies? A, a transformer. B, a Pi network. C, a length of transmission line. Or D, all of these choices are correct. And if you listen to the question carefully, you'll probably know the answer right off. But if you'd like that, then send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And we're going to be giving away this speaker next week to some lucky viewer. But right now, let's check in with Amanda and see what's going on in the chat room. Amanda?
Hey, George. Thanks a bunch. And also, I get to be on the show with Val at the same time. Wonderful news there. And let's see. Lots of comments about Randy's video. Thank you, Randy, for such great information. Let's take it away here. Gordo, I was going to ask you this last week, but I think it's more important to ask you this week. Some viewers have wanted to know, what is the importance of power poles and do they need to actually use them?
Okay. Power poles are so important because they provide a common DC power connection for ham radio operators in the field, and they're easy to put on. I think George had one, Amanda, a few months ago on using the power poles. But the power poles have one drawback, and that is if you don't regularly plug them in and unplug them, plug them in and unplug them, if they're out in the air or just sitting on your workbench, they go bad. They begin to develop a little bit of resistance. And if you're only drawing 20 or 30 milliamps, you're going to find that you're only drawing one or two because you're losing about 20 mils in corrosion. So regularly work your power poles, Amanda, and all emergency communicators, per ARRL instructions and RACI's instructions, we all use this as our common DC source. Back to you, Amanda.
Absolutely. And I've ran into that problem several times where you show up to a Red Cross shelter or something and you're there with power poles and they're not set up for it. So definitely stay universal, you guys, especially in MCOM there. Next question is for Val. Hey, Val, who issues all of your DX awards and how do you go about earning your DX awards?
Well, they're issued through different things. The most common place to get your DX awards is through the ARRL, through Logbook of the World. You can use EQSL does their own awards. It depends what awards you're chasing. So each, you know, I mean, there's some even obscure awards like the WUST Awards, which is the Metro DX Club puts that on. So it all depends on the award you're chasing, which place is going to administer that.
Very good. So everybody watching out there, if you're looking for some DXCC awards or DX awards, I should say, there's probably several different places you can start to earn some. So don't get discouraged there. All right.
Yeah,
thanks,
well,
Val.
Specifically, the DXCC is the ARRL. The DXCC is ARRL all the way. But there's all kinds of worked all states, work your county hunting, and just all kinds of different awards. So,
absolutely. And how many contacts do you have to make to earn your DXCC from the ARRL?
The DXCC is working 100 different countries. Now, you can do DXCC mixed, which is CW and digital and phone, and then just 100 countries total combined on any one of those bands or modes. But then you can also start going into five-band DXCC, so you work to 100 countries on 40 meters, 20 meters, 15 meters, 10 meters, 80 meters. So, you know, there's you can keep going from there. You can also go for your challenge, working 1,000 countries on all different bands and all different modes. You know, I know a bunch of people who have their 3,000 country challenge, which is really a lot of work. So they keep putting awards out there to try and keep people active and interested in the hobby and keep them DXing.
Absolutely. There's always a challenge. And I can guarantee I'm not going to meet most of those, but I look forward to trying. So thanks a lot, Val. I appreciate that. And everybody else does, too. Okay. Let's see. I'm probably a little bit out of time to send another question. We'll get that at the end of the show. So right now we've got Don with an important message from LegalZoom.com.
Let's talk about technology. The internet. We've got Skype. We've got the ability to come together from all over the world and enjoy ham radio on Ham Nation all together. You've got smartphones, you've got your iPad, you've got Android devices, all these other gadgets that are supposed to make it easy to do so many things. Well, with all that stuff, why is it that it seems like our lives are busier at the same time? You hardly have time for anything important, like, for instance, getting the legal help you need. Well, LegalZoom will give you a great solution that will work with your busy schedule. And let's face it, the legal system is extremely complicated. There are way better things you can be doing with your time. And thankfully, LegalZoom is there. So if you've been thinking about starting a business, forming an LLC, getting a trademark, a will, a living trust, these are all very important things. And LegalZoom will help you get the job done and get it done right. You'll get the personal attention you need, and they will help you take care of all the details. LegalZoom's been helping families and small business owners for 14 years. They have an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. So call or visit LegalZoom today. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services, but is not a law firm. To visit LegalZoom.com, use offer code HAMNATION. You will save on your legal needs and also get access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. Don't put off the things you need to do. Go to LegalZoom.com right now. Use offer code HAMNATION. LegalZoom.com, offer code HAMNATION. You'll get $10 off at checkout. And LegalZoom, thank you very much for your support of Ham Nation. George, what do you have for us now?
We're going to have just a couple more questions here in the chat room in just a minute. But right now, why don't you bring us the news, Don?
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1915, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 30th, 2014. If you live in the Northeast, get ready for some visiting stations this summer. The planners for the 2014 World Radio Sport Team Championship competition July 9th through the 14th announced the venues from where the 59 teams representing 38 countries will operate. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, has the details.
Sites for WRTC 2014 include private properties, state parks, and other state and town-owned facilities in 15 towns in Massachusetts and one in New Hampshire. Each was carefully selected to establish a level playing field so that no team will have an RF sight or height advantage over any other. Competing teams were selected from around the world in a series of 55 qualifying events over a three-year period. During WRTC 2014, teams will compete to contact other amateur radio stations in countries around the globe using both SSV and Morse code. The teams will operate without sleep for the entire 24-hour competition in an effort to contact as many stations as possible in as many countries as possible in order to take home the top prize. WRTC 2014 is the first competition to be held in the United States since 1996. Previous WRTC competitions have been held in Seattle, San Francisco, Slovenia, Finland, Brazil, and most recently in Russia.
For more information on this year's World Radio Sport Team Championship, please visit WRTC2014.org or contact Chairman Doug Grant via email to K1DG at WRTC2014.org. The United States Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard are again co-sponsoring this year's annual Military to Amateur Radio Crossband Communications Test. This in celebration of the 64th anniversary of Armed Forces Day. Here's Jim Dameron in 8TMW.
The annual celebration features military to amateur crossband communications, SSB voice, and Morse code tests. These give both amateur radio operators and shortwave listeners an opportunity to demonstrate their individual technical skills and to receive recognition from the appropriate military radio station for their proven expertise. Although the actual Armed Forces Day will actually be celebrated Saturday, May 17th, this year's communications test will be conducted on May 10th to prevent conflict with the Dayton Hamvention, which is slated for May 16th through the 18th. QSL cards will be provided to those stations making contact with the military stations.
There were some truly nice words about amateur radio in a recent segment of Sarasota, Florida's Suncoast News Network. In the piece, reporter John Woodruff talks with Dennis Spees, W2DEN, about the hobby and its importance to the community. Later on in the story, Woodruff talks with Sarasota County Emergency Management Chief Ed McCrane, who says that ham radio provides a valuable network in the event of a disaster. But in a lot of ways, it's anchor Mike Stevens who has the highest praise for hams. To find out what Stevens says, watch the two-minute news story. You'll find a link in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. And finally this week, if you're attending this year's Dayton Hamvention, you might want to consider bringing along your sons and daughters of any age. Thanks to the work of New York City educator Carol Perry, WB2MGP, this year will mark the official introduction of the Youth Booth. Carol says it all came about because of a pole-climbing robot.
Last year, we had our last youth forum presenters do a demonstration of an invention of theirs, a pole-climbing robot. At the end of the three-hour youth forum, we invited people who wanted to see the robotic device up close to come to the RCA booth, and we commandeered the empty booth next to us so that hams could keep stopping by, seeing it up close, and speak with the kids themselves.
The demonstration booth turned out to be so popular, she approached the planners of Hamvention 2014 to see if they might be receptive to making it an official part of this year's gathering. And she was successful.
Dara has been generous enough to give us the booth, and we're going to call it the Youth Booth. And the young people from the youth forum are going to be there to explain their inventions and to demonstrate them.
The Hamvention Youth Booth will be right next to the booth sponsored by the Radio Club of America. WB2MGP hopes to make it an official part of the Dayton Hamvention from this year on.
And we here at Newsline and Ham Nation look forward to meeting you at Dayton also. One final note, the nominating period for this year's Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. Full details are online at the Newsline website. And that'll do it from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
73, Don, and glad you survived all the tornadoes and bad weather we had in the state this week. It didn't get so bad the next day, though, as they had expected. So hopefully we're clear of that for a while. But I think it's moved on into the northeast some, and more people are having trouble out of this weather. It's been a really strange weather year here so far. But, you just got to be prepared and have your handy-talkie ready so you can check in those weather nets or your weather radio or whatever you need there so that you can stay informed as bad weather approaches. Well, Don, is there any new news this week from DX Engineering?
Hey, thanks, George. I want to talk a little bit about DX Engineering and DX Expedition, specifically the FT5ZM DX Expedition to Amsterdam Island. Have you heard about it? If you haven't, here's a Cliff Notes version. The crew left January 18th to activate one of the most remote islands on the planet. They were there for 18 days. They made over 170,000 QSOs, almost 3,600 of those, on 160 meters, and that's no easy feat. You want to see a ton of cool pics and find out all about it, you go to FT5ZM.com. And DX Engineering was a major supporting sponsor of that operation. The FT5ZM team used a lot of DX Engineering supplied receive equipment, specifically the four-square receive array for 160 meters. And now DX Engineering has created a package that gives you the ability to replicate FT5ZM's success. It's the 2014 FT5ZM Amsterdam Island D-Expedition Receive Array Combo Package. This offers exceptionally good weak signal performance while withstanding the harsh weather of the island. It was also very easy to install and set up. Remember, they made 3,600 QSOs on 160 meters from one of the most remote areas on the planet using this package. It's built around the famous DX Engineering RPA-1 Receive Preamplifier. A DX Engineering receive feed line current choke to combat common mode noise and unwanted RF. And the receive array installation, everything you need to complete it, just like FT5ZM. It's battle proven. FT5ZM proved that it works. And now you can capitalize on that experience by installing your very own FT5ZM Amsterdam Island D-Expedition Combo Package. And DX Engineering is proud to support major D-Expeditions like FT5ZM Amsterdam Island. And for years, they've been providing enthusiasts with the highest quality communications equipment on the planet. It's battle-tested. It's proven. It works. For more information on both the FT5ZM D-Expedition and the Receiver Array Combo Package, I want you to go to dxengineering.com. And if you want to grab your own package, you go to dxengineering.com/hamnation. Get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it is in stock, DX Engineering will put it on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Grab your catalog or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. DX Engineering, thank you for your support of D-Expeditions all over the world and Ham Nation. We love you, DX Engineering.
Thanks, Don. Great work there. Well, we're about to wrap up another episode of Ham Nation here, but let's check in with Amanda one more time to see if there's any final questions there from the chat room.
Thanks, George. Just want to mention that the chat room is just a buzz about Dayton. Dayton, Dayton, Dayton. That's what a lot of people are talking about. Very excited about being there and seeing all of you guys there, of course. So that looks like it's going to be a fun time for everyone. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there. But let's see. George, W4BKB, asks, his wireless router is taking a dive every time he operates on 40 meters. Anything he can do about that?
Try 20 meters. I would yeah. Maybe try some ferrite beads on the power cable and the Ethernet connection coming into it, but sounds like Gordo may have an answer there.
Try maybe 40 meters or 60 meters or 160. Yep, ferrite beads will certainly help. And sometimes just mooshing the cables around from the router so they don't look like an antenna, that may help as well. Good luck. That's a common, common problem of QRN.
It certainly is. And my smartphone doesn't work on 80 and my doorbell goes off. So it really does. So good luck there with your wireless router problem. And thanks, you guys, for all your wonderful answers tonight. And Val, of course, as well. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Amanda. Great to have you in the chat room here, and good questions tonight. Well, Gordo, do we have any final comments here we need to make before we close the show on out?
We look forward to seeing everybody at the Nevada State Convention coming up in Virginia City, end of May 30, 31, and June 1. And look at this, George. The new Dayton buttons are out, thanks to Joe, W8JRK. So if you're doing Dayton, be sure and get your button out at the swap meet, and they are keepers. We're on 7278, and we'll turn up the audio. And where do you plan to operate and tune in tonight, George? Go ahead.
Well, I believe 20 meters is going to be on 14.268. I haven't seen it come through the chat room, so I'm not positive, but they'll be somewhere in that area. I'm going to try to make that as well as 40. And also the Echo Link net on Star, do drop in Star, node number 355-800. And the D-Star net on Reflector 14, Module C. And Glenn is going to cover for Dave over there tonight because Dave's out this week. But he did want me to remind you that May 21st, he's going to do the net from Panama City, Florida at the Ham Radio Club there. So join one of these nets here. We've got a variety of them for you to check out there. And I'm going to try to make all of them. You never know because of the noise. And Gordo, just as we get to the show here, I've been having a really bad pulse noise on my rig this week, and I was hoping it would be here and I could show it to you, but it quit the show began.
Yeah, no, I saw it for an instant, and it was about every 25 KC. So as Val would say, work that DX and get it off the air. I didn't see it anymore, but it came in once, big time.
Yeah, it's been really tough here. I hadn't found the source yet. I'm not sure if it's right by me or if it's down the road a piece, but we're going to be out with a little shortwave radio snooping for that. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us again for another exciting episode of Ham Nation. Bob has been in the chat room here. He dropped out a little earlier, but they've been having a good time in there. And we look forward to seeing you all again here next week. So join us then. And for now, 73 from W5JDX.
On 72, 78 kilohertz. Sorry, no video tonight.